listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Wherever you are on planet Earth or across the United States of America, whatever time zone you're in, I want to welcome you to today's program. We're going to talk about some heavy stuff, very heavy stuff, but very, very important stuff. You know, as most of you know, I have been like racing like crazy to finish up my book, Power from On High, which will be out soon. I know I've said that ad nauseum, but it will be out soon. And it will be a powerful book. Anyone who reads the book, you always have to say that because in today's world, people don't read books. They use it as like, you know, something to put their Coke on or beer on or whatever. If you read the book will change your life. And the book will change your life for a number of reasons. Number one, knowledge is power, and the book contains power in that it contains knowledge, high voltage knowledge. And number two is, the book contains an explanation, a description, an invitation on how any person, and let me say what I mean by any person. This does not disqualify people who don't consider themselves spiritual or don't consider themselves Christian-like. This book doesn't disqualify people who think they're bad, and maybe they've been bad in the past. This book is, Power from On High is an invitation. Power from On High is an invitation to the most incredible, mind-blowing trip that any human being could possibly have while living on this earth. And let me, I'm very charged up about the book. You'll have to forgive me. This is actually not a plug. This is like bubbling over with passion and enthusiasm. So if you misconstrue my intent, there's nothing I can do about that. When I talk about stuff that really fascinates me, really interests me, really grabs a hold of me, it releases psychological energy, spiritual energy, and all kinds of power. There's spiritual power, the dunamis, the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. That releases the power of the Holy Spirit at an unusual magnitude in a person's life. But in addition to that, when you're releasing intellectual power, knowledge power, creative power, motivational power, that also, it changes reality. It changes your reality. To put it bluntly, it reconfigures the reality all around you. And we need to have the reality all around us radically reconfigured right now. No, I'm not talking about at some minimal dribble level. Please don't understand me. I'm talking about a radical transformation in reality that is so explosive in its force and its impact that the Bible describes it as the dunamis power of God, the dynamite power of God. So the dunamis, that's where we get our word dynamite from. The dunamis or the dynamite power of God is that explosive, detonating, dynamite-like explosive force that is released in synchronization with God's laws of love, which simply means that the dunamis, or the dynamite power of God, explodes and detonates where it is needed the most. So the detonation occurs at the ground zero of your life, the place where the battle is the fiercest, the place where the battle, the spiritual battle, is the most intense, the place where you're psychologically ready to implode because you've been fighting various spiritual battles for such a long time that your weariness and your fatigue level, and yeah, just you know, say it like it is. When you've been in long-term intensive spiritual warfare, what happens is that the dunamis force, the dynamite force of the Holy Spirit, if you place your faith in the living God, in the Creator, and His Word, and His power, that will detonate the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. And that's all important, because that is a game changer in your reality and my reality. Your reality, the outcome of your spiritual battle, will never be the same again once this detonation in a parallel universe, or once this detonation has occurred in the invisible realm. Now, we can be talking about biblical or Christian stuff, but biblical or Christian stuff, this is not centralized simply in the area of biblical or Christian stuff. This dunamis, this dynamite power of God, is, I'm kind of hesitating. You can probably hear it in my voice. I'm hesitating because I'm scrambling. I'm searching to find words that effectively convey the dunamis power of God, the dynamite power of God, the dynamite explosive force of God. And when that dynamite, dunamis force of God detonates or explodes, the velocity by which it explodes, the inertia by which it explodes, the overwhelming, pulverizing force of God Almighty, the Supreme Being, the way it plays out is like this. And the Bible gives us numerous examples concerning the way it plays out. When the dunamis, the dynamite power of God, detonates, it is an explosive force that is so powerful that it creates a shockwave in the invisible realm. And that shockwave has such inertia, it has such force, that the detonation force and the inertia of the shockwave literally rips out of the architecture of reality. It literally rips out of the architecture of what we call normal Christian behavior. Remember, and don't get offended by what I'm saying, by the way. If you're offended by what I'm about to say, it's not because you're offended about what I'm about to say. It's because you're misunderstanding what I'm saying. So what this is all about is the difference between religion, the difference between religion, rituals, repetitive spiritual behavior, the difference between that stuff and a literal detonation in the invisible realm, where the dunamis power of God violently explodes in a dominant area, a strategic battlefield. So we're all involved, every one of us, on a daily basis. We are all involved in a dominant battlefield, a dominant spiritual battlefield. And the outcome of that dominant spiritual battlefield is so intense and so powerful that when it detonates, it's a game changer. It turns the tide of the spiritual battle in remarkable ways. So what we have to understand is that children of God, and that's what we are, we're children of God. You know, I don't like the word Christian. The reason I don't like the word Christian is because the word Christian conveys, unfortunately, it's not the way it should be, but unfortunately, the word Christian conveys, communicates a less than accurate depiction of authentic spirituality, of an authentic supernatural relationship with God. Remember, what we're talking about here, and it's really important to be accurate, and it's not important to be accurate because you have some anal retentive obsession with numerical calculations that compulsively force you to accurately add up or subtract numbers. I mean, there's a place for that. Don't get me wrong, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that when God created the entire universe, the entirety of planet Earth, He did it on a number of levels. He did it on a mathematical level. He did it on a scientific and technological level. He did it on a DNA or a genetic level. He did it on a creative level, an intuitive level. And so that's how God created our world, created the Garden of Eden. So when we look at the Garden of Eden, or nature, let's remember the basic message of nature is that nature should reflect accurately the glory of God, the majesty of God, the brilliance of God, the unbelievable creativity of God. That's what nature should be reflecting accurately. And so if we're looking at nature, let's say we're walking through a beautiful mountain forest with streams and flowers and blue skies and green grass, et cetera, et cetera. The beauty, the awesome serenity, the majestic tranquility of God's creation, nature, even to the hardest of hearts, it blows away the mechanical, mechanized perception, which is the way most Christians perceive reality. The way most Christians perceive reality is from a degraded perspective. So when Christians, men and women, are living in reality or perceiving reality, they're doing it from a degraded Christian perspective, which simply means that they're flying a lot lower in altitude than the jet, the SpaceX rocket. SpaceX rocket or the jet or super rockets of our time are artistically creative in the brilliance of their engineering. And they can fly at incredible speeds, maneuver at incredible speeds, and they're marvelous in their ingenuity. So, God created the Earth, planet Earth, which some people call spaceship Earth. I don't have a problem with that. God created planet Earth to function like a spaceship Earth. And so, what God created in terms of planet Earth is so awesome, it moves. You see, when God creates something, when man creates something like technology and science or whatever, when man creates something in the nature of technology or science, etc., what man creates has an inevitable tendency, a downward negative pull that pulls the power, the majesty, and the inertia of God's creation, capital C, it pulls God's creation down to the level of percentages of degradation and percentages of the mundane. So the stuff that's really beautiful, the stuff that's really awesome about God and should be naturally flowing out of our inmost being, flowing out of our vocabulary, flowing out of our art, our literature, etc., etc., that which should be naturally flowing out of our beings is interrupted. It's like you're flying. Have you ever had a dream about flying? I have. And I really wish I had a lot more dreams about flying, because dreams about flying are dreams of exaltation and triumph and victory. And quite frankly, I wish I had more of those, because dreams about flying are a whole lot of fun. So, when we have dreams about flying, we enter the majestic exaltation. It reflects the glory of God. There's nothing wrong with that. A dream that reflects the glory of God is a beautiful and an awesome dream. So, where this turns in a very powerful way is when we are traveling majestically through God's creation. And you say, well, Paul, what do you mean, traveling majestically through God's creation? Whenever a man or a woman of God, whenever a child of God chooses to take up wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint, whenever a child of God goes into that posture, what that child of God is doing in reality, he's moving in synchronization with the momentum and the glory and the beauty and the majesty of God. Now, anything that a person does who's a Christian, in his mind, his heart, his spirit, his belief system, or whatever, that causes an internal deviation where a person does a downward spiral, where a person makes a bumbling maneuver, and all of a sudden that person finds themselves in a downward spiral of degradation. I don't mean degradation in the sense of immorality or something. I'm talking about degradation in the sense of your life. God created you to live the life of being more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. God created you to be victorious, fearless. God created you. So like right now, at this moment and this lifetime, God literally created you to take up wings as eagles, to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. God created you with all these supernatural attributes which empower you to fly majestically like an eagle or a majestic hawk. Let me digress for a moment. I've lived in California now, I don't know, 25 years. And not once in the 25 years or more that I've lived in California can I ever recall seeing a massive, huge, majestic eagle sitting on the back fence of the property where I live. Not once. So what happened was I was looking out in my backyard and I heard something move, and it made like a clanking noise, and the clanking noise reflected the fact that whatever was moving it wasn't fat, it was lean and mean, but it packed a considerable amount of muscle weight. And I looked at it, and I was trying to figure out what it was, because I'm a city boy. I'm from New York City, you know, so like, pigeons, I know. Pigeons, I know. I don't know eagles. I don't know hawks. I'm still not sure to this day whether it was a hawk or eagle. I would suspect it was not a hawk. I would suspect it was an eagle because of the grace and the power that it demonstrated simultaneously. So my house is up on a hill, and you can look down for miles into a huge valley. And all the years I've been living there, I get up, you know, at various times, but it's usually the same time of day and morning. And all the years that I've been living there, I have never seen an aerial creature of that power and majesty sitting on a fence that was right next to, you know, there's fences in the backyard, and then there's these cement columns, these cement pillars with like a artistic type of hemisphere, like a ball. So my eyes spot this thing. It's huge. It's bigger than any type of bird I've ever seen in my life up there. And I've seen some big birds and animals. It's bigger than any, you know, land creature that I've ever seen before. And the more I study it, the colors, etc., and I'm no expert on the difference between eagles and hawks. Just not an expert on the differences. But I'm looking at this thing, and because, you know, like as one of my many hobbies, I do a lot of research and have done a lot of research on highly sophisticated artificially intelligent drones. So as I'm analyzing this massive bird and the way it flips its tail wings, it's really weird because the way it flips its tail wings is mechanical in nature. And the way it flips its tail wings, it's almost like a robotic machine or a robot, a design robot of an eagle. I mean, really, it looked like it had enormous, enormous weight. And it looked like it flipped its wings with enormous power. And it wasn't like any other bird I've seen. I've seen owls and all kinds of birds. There was nothing like this that I've ever seen. So I banged on my back window with my wedding ring because I knew that would make a snap, a sharp snap sound. That if it, you know, if it was any other kind of bird or rabbit or any other kind of animal, it would have darted and fled for its life. Just that snapping sound of the ring against the glass would have like got the attention of this eagle like immediately. This thing didn't move, which communicated to me that it had absolutely no fear whatsoever. That this creature was fearless. Now I want to stop for just a moment. And I want to rest for a moment on an analysis of this giant bird, which one of the major attributes I noticed was that it was totally fearless. It was without fear. So we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Okay, this is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Back to this giant eagle on the back fence. I don't want, you know, the back fence of where I live. So I'm looking at this giant eagle. It's huge. And it's not scared of anything because I banged the glass relatively hard. Didn't faze it. So I watched it some more. And then I noticed that it began to flip its, I don't know anything about birds. So let's start right there. I'm not a bird watcher. I don't look at birds. This one I did. I look at birds if they're incredibly unusual, and that's it. I mean, I grew up in New York City. The only thing there were stupid pigeons. And if you've lived in a major city like New York City, pigeons are always landing on the buildings above you, and if you're not careful, pigeons will poop on you from high elevations. And we don't need to get into a description of that, but it's disgusting. Anyway, so I'm not a big fan of birds, generally speaking. So I see this majestic eagle. It looks like it's ready to take off. It looks like its attention is being focused on something. I assume it's an animal or something. And so it flips its tail wings and just like one or two sweeps of its wings, even though it has this enormous weight, it has propelled itself with enormous speed, just like flapping the wings once or twice. It now has traveled an incredible distance and at an incredible speed, and it swoops down into a valley, and then I can't see it because there's grass and trees and stuff. But my assumption was that at a very high speed and with the visual acuity of an eagle, it spotted its prey and poof, devoured it. And I never saw that eagle again. Maybe I will. So the point is that the eagle is among many of God's creations. And it's interesting to note that our founding fathers, when they were choosing various symbols for the United States of America, the eagle, the American eagle, was a prominent symbol. Because why? Because the eagle is powerful. The eagle is fearless. The eagle is majestic and royal and has royal qualities and kingly qualities. And the eagle has enormous strength and power with its talons and I guess with its beak. So the eagle is something that you marvel at. The eagle is something that you grant an enormous amount of respect. If you're another animal, a bird, or whatever the other creature is, even a human being, the eagle generates a kind of, not in an idolatrous worship, but the eagle generates and compels a kind of worship and a kind of it looks like royalty. Now, I believe that our founding fathers, despite what they have propagandized you to believe in the public schools, see, they want to make our public schools are trying to deprogram our children. When I was raised as a kid, and probably when many of you were raised as a kid, it was branded into our subconscious that we were Americans, and America was symbolized by the eagle, this majestic, powerful, royal, dignified creature. Now, our kids have been subjected to hardcore 24/7 scientific mind control brainwashing, where the subconscious image of America being represented by an eagle has been replaced by a subconscious symbol of the symbol of America being a pigeon. Now, I don't know what you know about pigeons. If you live in New York, you know a whole lot about pigeons because they're pooping everywhere. But I'll tell you this, I don't know much about birds, like I said before, but there's an enormous difference between the majesty of an eagle and the slimy, low-level stature of a pigeon, which is known for pooping on people. And that's one of the reasons, by the way, not that you care, I know you don't care about this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. One of the reasons that you see so many movies about New Yorkers carrying their umbrellas is the New Yorker, which I formerly was one, the New Yorker carries his or her umbrella for two basic reasons. Number one, it's a way of shielding you from pigeon poop, which is white. Number two, the umbrella helps keeps you out of the rain because it can often rain spontaneously in places like Manhattan. So those are the dual purposes of an umbrella. But from my vantage point of my backyard, I saw the eagle in all its splendor. And that's, God is very heavily into speaking to us based on symbols. The names in the Bible were not just happen chance. The names in the Bible were given under the guidance, anointing, and direction of the Holy Spirit. God especially took delight in choosing a family name or a people's name, and it could represent something weak or cowardly, or it could represent something powerful, strong, and godly. So things like names in the mind of God are powerful. And names convey character, strength, weaknesses, power, etc. It's very important. And many other things in the Bible that in modern society we place a far less emphasis on, like names and the spiritual meaning or the hidden meaning behind names. But in the Old Testament and the New Testament, names were important. Yeah, I'll give you a personal example, but I never talk about this. My entire life, I didn't like my name, Paul, as in Paul McGuire. It was a name that my parents gave me for lineage reasons. My grandfather on my mother's side, his name was Paul. But I didn't like the name Paul because I didn't know the name of anybody that was anybody whose name was Paul. Now, my grandfather was a successful automobile dealer and owned a large automobile. It was more than a dealership. He owned an automobile plant for one of the major automobile companies. But what I remember is that all of my life, except for Paul Newman, the actor, which many of you probably don't even know, I couldn't identify with the name Paul. I thought it was odd. I was never particularly happy about it. Now, so, you know, I finally hit my mid to late 20s. Now I've been married for a couple of years to the same wife, by the way. And I have an epiphany. I have a revelation from the Lord. The Lord speaks to me, not in an audible voice, but the Lord speaks to me and says, Paul, I want you to be proud of your name. And you know, I don't even remember how I responded. Paul, I want you to be proud of your name. And I think I said to him, Lord, why? I don't really like the name. And then the Lord said to me, Paul, I named you Paul, not after your grandfather. I named you Paul. Your parents named you Paul after your mother's father. But then the Lord said, but they did not choose your name. And I said, like, well, what do you mean, Lord? Your name, Paul, was not chosen by your parents. Your parents were simply my instrument. I simply used your parents as my instrument to choose the name I wanted to give you, which even today it's not that common of a name. And then the Lord said to me, I, the Lord God, chose your name, Paul. I selected your name, Paul. And then the Lord said to me, I selected your name, Paul, after the Apostle Paul. And the Lord said to me, and I'm not telling you this to brag, okay? So if that's in your head, turn the channel. I'm not saying this to brag. There's nothing to brag about. I still, in the flesh, I really don't like the name. I only like the name when I think about what the Lord said to me. And then the Lord said, I chose your name, Paul, after the name of the Apostle Paul. And then the Lord said to me, the name, the Apostle Paul, has incredible significance and spiritual power and spiritual authority in my kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And then the Lord corrected me. You know, sometimes, and I believe the Lord's speaking to a lot of people right now, sometimes things happen to us, we're given names or whatever by human beings, our parents or whatever, and we don't like it. We're uncomfortable with it. And I'm not asking you to make something up out of nothing. But what I'm telling you is that the Lord corrected me, and he said to me, Paul, I want you to change your attitude regarding your name, Paul. And then the Lord said, I chose for you the name Paul before the beginning of time. Before the beginning of the world, I chose you for such a time as this. I chose you for the ministry you're in. And I specifically chose you to give you the name Paul, as in the Apostle Paul. And so the Lord said to me, Paul, your name, and please, this is not about bragging. The Lord said to me, Paul, your name was chosen, Paul, as an honor, as a gift from me to you. Because in the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of this world, but in the kingdom of heaven, the name Paul is a name of unusual honor, unusual spiritual authority, because I deliberately chose you before the foundation of the world and granted you to have a name that conveys enormous spiritual authority, enormous spiritual power. And it's a name that fits. It's kind of like the Lord said, you don't totally understand it all right now because, you know, you've only been saved for a couple of years, the Lord said to me. So you don't totally understand the significance of your name, Paul. But the Lord said, I chose to give you the name Paul for a specific reason. It carries with it a specific ranking in the kingdom of heaven, a specific ranking in the kingdom of God. I, the Lord God, gave you the name Paul as a gift, and it signifies enormous spiritual authority that I have granted to you before the foundation of the world. And even though you don't fully comprehend or understand what your name means down here on earth at this particular juncture in your life, but the name Paul is a name of kingdom authority. It's the name of the Apostle Paul. And then the Lord said this, and don't mistake this as bragging, because it's not bragging. If it was bragging, I'd be talking about it all the time. I feel awkward talking about it. Then the Lord said to me, I gave you the name Paul as a name of honor, because in the kingdom of heaven, the name Paul conveys enormous honor. And the Lord said, it also is a is a symbol to you that when I gave you the name Paul, and I decided it on your name before the foundation of the world, embedded in your name, Paul, is the calling of the Apostle Paul, the spiritual authority of the Apostle Paul. And so that name, the Lord said, conveys honor, power, and spiritual authority. And I don't want to overdo it because somebody's going to think, you know, he's on a raving egomaniac trip, but that's not it. What the Lord was saying to me is that your name, Paul, in the kingdom of heaven is a name that conveys enormous spiritual authority and power because it is the name of an apostle. And in fact, like one of the main apostles is the Apostle Paul. And so I received the Lord's correction. To this day, I'll be perfectly honest with you, I'm not particularly thrilled with the name Paul, but I receive what the Lord said to me. And I finally, for the first time in my life, I was always embarrassed about having the name Paul. And so for the first time in my life, I accepted my name Paul as a gift from the Lord, as a sign of spiritual authority and ranking from the Lord, and that I should receive that name, Paul, as in the Apostle Paul, with great thanksgiving and great honor, because it's not just an ordinary name. It's the name of an apostle. And I don't know how many people are named Paul. I guess what country you live in. But the name Paul is a name of incredible honor. Now, I never thought about it that way. I was always embarrassed by my name growing up and everything else. But it's a name of honor, a name of power, a name of spiritual authority. And it was only, even then I didn't quite understand it. It was only when the Lord would send me like to places around the world and to other places like, you know, national Christian television shows, secular shows, the History Channel, or speaking to conferences of 25,000 people. And what was weird about all of this, okay? What was weird about all of these open doors is that almost all of the time the Lord opened these supernatural doors, the Lord reminded me that my name was Paul, like the Apostle Paul, and I should perceive it as a name of dignity and spiritual ranking. And so I just wanted to share that with you. Not for the purpose of boasting. It's just sometimes God gives us a name or gives us something or opens a door, or it could be any number of things. It could be, I want some of you to hear what I'm saying right now, because I believe that what I'm saying right now is a word from the Lord to you specifically. Okay? And the Lord wants you to write down what you heard on today's program, because I'm going to say something to you right now, and your spiritual image is in my head, so to speak, and the Lord is prompting me to share this powerful truth to you so that it will open doors in your consciousness concerning your birthright, your ranking in the kingdom of heaven, your gifts in the kingdom of heaven, your calling in the kingdom of heaven, and a lot of other things. So this is what the Lord is telling me. There are many of you listening right now, and the Lord is saying to you, wake up, pay attention, and listen to what this guy is saying. When I say what this guy is saying, I'm talking about me. Listen to what I am saying regarding you, because what I'm telling you is, I'm telling you this in the spirit of prophecy. And you know I'm very careful about how I use those words. What I'm saying to you now, I'm saying and conveying to you in the spirit of prophecy. And the Lord has either given you a name, a particular type of face, a particular type of body, a particular type of gifting, a particular type of image, a particular set of talents. And now, listen up now. This is powerful. It's going to set you free. The dunamis power of God, the dynamite explosive force of God, the dunamis, is going to detonate the chains of bondage that have been holding you in bondage, surrounding your identity as it connects to a name, your face, gifts, talents, or whatever. So this is what the Lord is saying to you. The Lord gave you a particular name. The Lord, and this could deal with any number of variables, okay? The Lord gave you a particular name. The Lord gave you a particular set of talents, gifts, and abilities. The Lord gave you a particular set of spiritual gifts. The Lord gave you certain anointings from the Holy Spirit. Now listen up. You don't fully comprehend yet at this moment in your life, and I don't care what age you are, you don't fully comprehend yet at this age in your life precisely what the specific callings, the specific giftings, the specific anointings, and the specific abilities and the specific gifts that God has inputted into you. The lights aren't totally on. You're kind of like, you've stepped into the entrance of a cave. It's somewhat disorienting because you don't quite know why you're in the cave with so much darkness. And this is what the Lord is telling you now. And the Lord, this is a word from the Lord. And I almost never say that. I cannot remember the last time I have used those words in public ministry. But I'm using them now. The Lord has called you before the beginning of time to be here for such a time as this. The Lord has given you a specific set of talents, abilities, anointings, giftings, callings, and things of that nature. And they're perplexing to you as my name was perplexing to me, because you don't take a great deal of pride in the name, in the giftings, in the callings, in the anointings. You don't take a great deal of pride in your physical looks, whether it's your facial looks or your body looks or your the way you your visual image, humanly speaking, is not quite what you would like it to be. I'm not saying you're ugly. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you're ugly. I'm not saying that the Lord messed up on you. I'm not saying that at all, so get that out of your head. You could be, by the world's standards, a very attractive person, either female or male. But the point is that the Lord knew you before the foundation of the world, and the Lord gave you your unique set of looks, your unique physical presence, your unique facial presence, your unique voice tone, your unique demeanor, the pitch of your voice. It could be any number of things, and it could involve a large spectrum of things. Now, you are not all that thrilled about it. I mean, it's not like you're embarrassed about it. You're very much like me. You're not all that thrilled about some of these things. Just like I wasn't all that thrilled about my name. You're not all that thrilled about some of these things. And so, as a consequence, secretly, I mean, it's not like a nightmare, but secretly, you're somewhat embarrassed. You feel somewhat awkward about the name you've been given, the looks you've been given, or it could be any number of things. You feel somewhat awkward about it. And the Lord is speaking to you right now. So you're going to write down some time in the next couple of minutes that you heard this on the Paul McGuire Report with today's date and the time, and then you're going to expound upon it in writing where you won't lose it, because the Lord's going to bring you back to what I just shared with you. The Lord is going to bring you back to this over and over and over again, many, many, many times in your life from this moment forward. Because as the Lord continuously brings you back to this moment in time, along with the revelation that the Lord is now giving you regarding your name, your looks, your giftings, your talents, your anointing, or whatever, what the Lord has given you, and that could entail just about anything. What the Lord has given you, He has given you as a special gift. And the Lord is saying to you right now, and He's calling you by name right now. I don't know your name right now. The Lord, listen to me. The Lord is calling out your name by name right now at this moment. You need to hear that. And the Lord is calling you out by name. And the Lord is speaking to you now in such a way that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is all over what the Lord is about to tell you. And because the anointing of the Holy Spirit is all over what He's now about to tell you, all bondages, all captivity, all chains that are attached to you or connected to you or encompass you, all chains, all captivity, all embarrassment, all awkwardness regarding the things that we've discussed that are connected to you, the Lord, with one fell swoop, with the sword of His Spirit, is shattering the chains, shattering the bondages and the shackles. And right now, listen to me, please. It's very important that you receive this word. It's very important that you receive this word of prophetic deliverance right now as it's being spoken to you. And as you hear this word of prophetic deliverance being spoken to you right now, you are to immediately, with no hesitation whatsoever, no double-mindedness whatsoever, you are to immediately receive it as a gift of deliverance, a gift of promise, a prophetic gift of destiny. You are to receive it as a gift from the Lord Almighty. And as you receive it by faith, and as you receive it by faith and believe that the deliverance is yours, and believe that, yes, there's a prophetic calling of great distinction in your name, your talents, abilities, anointing, or whatever it is. Okay? Part and parcel with your looks, your name, and everything that goes with it, as you receive it, not with unbelief, but as you receive it with faith, and you believe it with faith, just like that's how you got saved. You heard the message of salvation, you received it by faith, pow, you were born again. And you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, and you'll spend all eternity in heaven. But also now, you have received by faith the giftings of your name, your talents, your ability, and your anointing. You're receiving it by faith. And as you receive it by faith, just say it like this: Lord Jesus Christ, I repent of all unbelief surrounding my name, my giftings, my talents, my abilities, my calling, and all the things you've given me to do in terms of ministry or earthly talents or spiritual talents or whatever. Everything that you've given to me and planned to give me before the foundation of the world, right now, Lord, I repent of unbelief regarding my name and the associated giftings. I repent of unbelief, Lord, and I receive the gift of my name. I receive the gift of my physical appearance, and that is not, listen to me, that is not contingent upon whether or not the world thinks you're good looking or not. That has nothing to do with it. You are to thank God. God is doing an enormous breakthrough now through the power of His Holy Spirit. What you receive, what you accept from God right now in the name of Jesus, is going to unlock part of your destiny from now, from here on, to the time He takes you into heaven. The Lord is using this moment to surgically correct your destiny. So receive it by faith, childlike faith. You don't have to understand it. You just receive it by childlike faith and say, Lord, forgive me for unbelief regarding my name, my talents, my gifts, my ability. And Lord, I repent of all that. And right now, Jesus, I choose to receive my name, my physical appearance, my looks, my talents, my abilities, my anointing, my gifting, my natural talents, all of the things that you've given me, and I may have been embarrassed about, Lord, all of the things that you've given me, even if I've been embarrassed about it, Lord, I now receive by faith, and right now in the name of Jesus, I praise your name. Right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what you've granted me. I thank you for what you've gifted me in the name of Jesus. And I praise your holy name. And I receive all that comes with my name, my destiny, my birthright, whether you think it's good or bad, praise him. Listen to me. It doesn't matter whether you think your birthright is good or bad. You are to praise the Lord now by faith and thank him by faith for the fact that he has gifted you and blessed you by giving you those anointings, those gifts, those talents, the ability, your looks, etc., etc. Now, regarding your looks and your appearance, hear me now. I'm speaking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And as I speak to you under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Lord is going to break bondages and set you free. So say this to the Lord: Lord, forgive me for having a unbelieving attitude regarding what you've given. Lord, I praise you and I thank you for the gifting, the anointing, the talents, the abilities, both physical, mental, and spiritual. I thank you, Lord, for whatever my particular set of physical looks is. I truly praise you, Lord, for whatever my particular set of looks is, because that's what you gave me. And Lord, I ask you not for me to perpetually compare myself to the standards of this world, but I thank you for the gifts of my physical looks, my physical body looks, the way I look, my nose, I mean, whatever it is, whatever you, if we're praying and the Lord highlights something that you have been embarrassed about, like let's say your nose or some other part of your body, you're to repent of that right now. Lord Jesus, I repent over feeling embarrassed and inadequate about certain areas of my body, my face, my physique, etc. And Lord, I choose to thank you and I choose to praise you. And I thank you for all of these things as gifts from God. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that you genetically embedded me with those microscopic modifications in my DNA so that these will work together according to your plan and purpose. And these things will work together in the release of my destiny, the release of my calling, and the release of all that you've called me to do. I praise you and thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. So as you're praising the Lord and as you're worshiping him right now, in Jesus' name, just praise him out loud. Lord, I praise you for the physical gifting. I praise you for the mental, emotional gifting. I praise you, Lord, for those things where people in the world have made fun of me because they in the world consider it a quirk. They in the world consider it, you know, an oddity. I repent for doubting what you gave me. And I praise you and worship you that all of these things were meant by you to be gifts, to be assets, to be blessings. And all of these things that you gave me, Lord, I praise you for, because they were meant by you to enhance and fulfill my destiny and purpose in you. And I praise you, Father. So, Lord, I thank you right now. I thank you, Lord, for the Paul McGuire report. I thank you that the Holy Spirit moved through the Paul McGuire report. And I thank you, Lord, that as we prayed together and the Holy Spirit, I thank you that Paul McGuire got out of the way of his own program. And I thank you that Paul McGuire got out of the way so that the Holy Spirit could lead the way of the program. I praise you for that, Jesus. I worship you for that, Jesus. Praise your name, God. I thank you for that, God. And I thank you, Father, for this recalibration. I thank you for this readjustment. I thank you for this modification, Lord, in all these things. And I thank you, Lord, that right now, today, at this moment, you, like a divine surgeon, because you're the great physician, you, like a divine surgeon, you have very carefully, surgically adjusted that those attitudes, those inner belief systems that are buried deep in my heart. I thank you that you readjusted me on multiple levels, God. Praise your name, God. Now, Lord, I receive all of these things that you've blessed me with. I receive all of these things that you've blessed me with, God, as blessings, as gifts, as assets and tools and empowerments designed by you to enable me to fulfill my destiny and accomplish your purposes, Lord, despite what the world thinks. I praise you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what's going to happen as you go down the road is it may happen instantly. It may happen in a matter of days. The Lord is going to supernaturally reframe your mind. He's going to supernaturally renew the mind of Christ. And he's going to supernaturally renew your image of yourself on a multitude of levels. And the Lord is going to supernaturally give you a divine revelation in him about how he's made these minor surgical adjustments in your life and mind and heart, and that you are to yield your opinion. That means if there's a struggle between your opinion and God's opinion, the Lord is commanding you right now. I want you to hear this. This is the Lord God Almighty speaking to you. The Lord God Almighty is speaking to you right now, and he's commanding you to command your will, your attitudes, to readjust themselves in accordance with his will, his attitudes, and his beliefs and perceptions. Praise your name, God. We thank you for doing that, God. And we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would come upon people. We pray that the Holy Spirit would anoint, fill, and empower people. And we pray, Father, that all the people listening, that the bondages, that the deviations, that the curses that have been upon people through a misperception of a misperception regarding the gifting and talents associated with how you bless them with their physical appearance, their name, and even things that they think are quirks in their personality. You designed those things to be given to them before the foundation of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we need funds to reach more people across the world. So I'm asking you to visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And as the Lord leads you, to give and make a donation. And one other thing I want to add to that is that the Lord is blessing you and the Lord is gifting you. And I shared one thing regarding looks and appearance in my name, but I want to share another thing which is very personal and private, and I've never shared it before, but I'll share it to you. I'm not saying this to brag, okay? I'm actually somewhat embarrassed by it. But in my perception of myself, which is imperfect, I feel that I have a slightly awkward, odd, and non-typical personality. I've always felt that, okay, from earliest childhood. And because of that, I have not been thankful to God about that. I wasn't thankful to God that that's how he made me. And so I always felt a sense of awkwardness. I always felt a sense of displacement. I always felt a sense of rejection regarding the uniqueness, the oddity, if you will, of my personality. Now, I'm sharing this to you because I believe that as I share this to you, it's going to set many of you free very, very powerfully. I mean, really powerfully. Because this took me many decades to discover. And I'm opening up my heart to you and sharing with you privately what I discovered. What I discovered after many decades in my life was this, that the very unique personality I have, the slightly odd personality I have, and the unique differences in my personality and temperament, all constituted a sense of inner awkwardness or inner strangeness or an inner difference in me that I wasn't really happy with, okay? Because in my fallen human nature, I wasn't seeking the Lord. I was seeking the world, and I was seeking the world's approval, the world's ways. And so when it came down to it, I wanted to have a personality that was more normal. I wanted to have a personality and character traits that were more typical, more on the average, more normal, more like everybody else. And then finally, after many decades of being alive, the Lord incrementally began to give me a revelation. The same revelation the Lord is trying to give you right now, if you'll open up to it. The revelation that the Lord was trying to get me to open up to was that it was the Lord himself, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who gave me this unique and different personality, this slight oddity in my personality, the unique difference in my personality. You see, the very things that I was embarrassed about regarding the uniqueness, the oddity, and the differences in my personality, those were things that I was embarrassed about because I wanted to be like everybody else. Be careful when you pray to God, you want to be like everybody else. You know why? Because what you're saying to God is, I don't trust you, God, because you made me the way I am. I don't trust you. Instead, Lord, I want to surrender the unique differences in how you created me so that I can be just another thing on the assembly line because of my carnal insecurity. That's not what you want. You don't want to be like everybody else. You don't want to have a more normal personality. You want to have those oddities, etc., etc. Because it's all those things that constitute your unique individuality. It constitutes your unique abilities, your unique giftings, your unique talents. And God forbid, I mean it, I'm very serious. God forbid that if the Lord was to honor your request, you better pray that he doesn't. If the Lord was to honor your request and take away your uniqueness, your individuality, your slight oddities, the things that make you different, unique, set apart, and different than everybody else. If the Lord was to take away those things that make you you, listen to me. This is so important. If the Lord was to answer that prayer and make you just like everybody else, your giftings would plummet and crash. Your abilities would nosedive and smash on the floor in flames. Your unique set of talents, your unique set of abilities, your giftings, your anointings, your powers, your all the stuff that makes you different, powerful, unique, and an individual. Those are all the things. Write them out, number 1 to 500. It's all those things that make you uniquely you. It's all those things that make you a treasure in the eyes of God. You don't want God to take that away. That's your gifting. That's your gifting. You don't think Solomon didn't have an odd personality? You better wake up or I'll smack you silly. Of course, Solomon had an odd personality. How could you not have a slightly odd personality if you were the smartest man who ever lived and if you were the richest man that ever lived? Let me tell you what goes along together with being the richest man who ever lived and the smartest man who ever lived. What goes along with that is you have a slightly different personality. There's a slight oddity to you. It's not bad, it's good. Because guess what? If you didn't have that uniqueness, that slight oddity, that difference in temperament, you wouldn't be the richest man in the world and the wisest man in the world. Discover, let the Lord take the blinders off your eyes. Discover that what you've been embarrassed about all these years. I mean, wake up. Wake up. The Lord's trying to set you free right now.
This is the Paul McGuire Report. One thing I want to share with you is this. It is in your difference. It's in your uniqueness. It's in your individuality that God breathes his life in you and his uniqueness. We live in a time period where the temporary god of this world's Satan. One of the biggest curses he puts on men and women and mankind in general is the curse of conformity. Everybody wants to be like everybody else. That's not a blessing, bozo. That's a curse. It is not a blessing to be like everybody else. It's a curse. God designed you to be individually who you are. When I looked at that giant, majestic eagle, wow, that was a thing of beauty and power. But guess what? Compared to all the pigeons, and there's lots of pigeons, but I only saw one majestic eagle. That's because the majestic eagle is a thing that's rare. It's a thing of excellence. Now, if you're hanging around a bunch of brainwashed crazies who are demanding that you be conforming to their mediocrity, well, may the Lord have mercy on you, because you're going to suffer from clinical depression the rest of your life, because you're going to be so stupid. I'm not talking about you personally. But there's going to be people who are so stupid that they're going to look at God's blessings in their lives as if they were curses. No, that's not the way it goes. Conformity, that's communism. Everybody's the same. Communalism, everybody's the same. Like a factory, like a product on a factory. No, see, the devil made. The devil enslaves people to be assembly line workers on a factory. That's not, you know, look, if you get good money, that's fine, but that's not a blessing from God, generally speaking. The power of that eagle was in its uniqueness. It had one heck of a wingspan. And you know what allowed it to be powerful, unique, regal, and beautiful? What allowed it to be everything God created it to be is it's the mighty, majestic eagle stopped doubting why God made it individually the way that God made it. Now, finally, I'm going to say this to you. God has made you exactly who you're supposed to be. Learn how to embrace this. Thank God for what he made you to be. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.